As we've been hearing, President Michael D. Higgins has rode into the ongoing issue of Defence Forces pay, saying that members should have sufficient income. He was speaking at an event to honour seven members of military yesterday. Here's just a flavour of what he had to say.
It is not too much, I would suggest, to accept that serving men and women should have conditions, including an income and prospects, that are sufficient to provide for themselves and their families, these great families that they have.
That's President Higgins speaking yesterday. For more on this, I'm joined now by Dr. Cathal Berry, a former head of the Army Ranger Wing, and also with the medical school. And also I'm joined by Eoin O'Malley, Associate Professor of Politics at Dublin City University. Cathal Berry, you, among others, have called for significant improvements in pay and conditions for members of the military. What do you make of this intervention by the Commander-in-Chief?
Good morning, Sean, and good morning to your listeners. First of all, we're absolutely delighted with President Higgins' comments. He's a hugely respected individual in the Defence Forces, precisely because he is brave. And this is just another example of his courage.
Oftentimes, certainly in diplomacy, people say things in public because they're not getting anywhere in private with the same kind of appeals. Would you imagine that this perhaps is an expression of frustration on his part that his private entreaties to government haven't really produced the necessary results as he would see it?
Yeah, I agree entirely with you, Sean. His intervention should not even have been necessary at all. There's a multitude of internal mechanisms to solve this problem. It shouldn't even be in the public domain. And the fact that the President, the Supreme Commander of the Defence Forces, has to speak out publicly, that tells you exactly how things are taking place in the Defence Forces.
On the other hand, as we all know, the presidency in this country is meant to be above politics. Now, this is really putting his oar into an ongoing political issue.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's a political issue at all, actually. This is more to do with justice and equality. And what's going on in the Defence Forces is it's blatant exploitation and discrimination, really. And the President, as first citizen of the country, just like any citizen, is obligated to call it out when he sees it.
Eoin O'Malley, Professor Eoin O'Malley of DCU, what do you make of this?
I don't think he is obligated to call it out as he sees it. The President has many functions and duties, but one of them isn't to comment on government policy. And so he's getting, and he's, obviously, we know what Michael D. Higgins' politics are, but we don't normally expect the President to kind of talk about the minutiae of government policy and whether pay rates are acceptable or not. The fact is, pay rates are probably not acceptable in the public, in the armed forces, and there have been ongoing retention issues. But that doesn't mean he should use his office to push forward his kind of political views.
Okay. Well, look. Let's just remind ourselves, because it was a very brief clip. Let's just hear it again. I want to ask you more about it, Eoin O'Malley.
It is not too much, I would suggest, to accept that serving men and women should have conditions, including an income and prospects, that are sufficient to provide for themselves and their families, these great families that they have.
It's very basic stuff, conditions and prospects that will allow them to provide for their families. I mean, it couldn't really be more fundamental, could it, Eoin O'Malley?
He put it in a reasonably sensitive and apolitical way, but if you read the newspapers this morning, it's been covered. I think the headline in the Irish Times was that he called for a pay rise, which is essentially a political issue. It's not new for him to get involved in political issues of the day. In 2012, he kind of criticised the proposed privatisation of some semi-state companies. And in 26, during the general election in 2016, he criticised what was essentially the kind of Fine Gael's policy of calling for tax cuts. So he does get involved in these things. There's not an awful lot the government can do about it, but I presume privately the government is seething.
Yes, as Albert Reynolds, I think, famously said, you can't argue with 94%, which was the approval rating that then President Mary Robinson had at the time. But is this just not another example of maybe pushing out the boundaries of what a president can do in terms of a contribution to Irish society?
It is pushing the boundaries, and a lot of people welcome those boundaries being pushed. It was probably too staid a political office, and it is a political office for a long period. It was a very uncontroversial and almost dull political office, and so I think people do welcome it becoming somewhat political, are more policy oriented. But it's difficult for a president to then make decisions about whether to grant the Taoiseach of the day an election or not, if the president has also been seen as possibly being partisan or having kind of skin in the game.
That is the concern, isn't it, Cathal Berry, that it is a direct intervention in a way that we're just not used to hearing from the president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I guess the moral and the ethical arguments, while they are compelling, but there's also a legal argument that Article 13 of the Constitution is very clear. It states that the supreme command of the defence forces is hereby vested in the president. So the president has unique responsibilities in this regard, because a considerable function of command is looking after the welfare of your personnel.
Yes, and so how do you think the representative bodies now representing military personnel in the Defence Forces, how are they going to leverage this, if I can use that phrase?
Well, first of all, they can speak for themselves, I'm sure they're well able, but both RACO and PD4A, I suspect, would strongly welcome the comments of President Higgins, because everybody knows that President Higgins has been a lifelong campaigner for social justice, a very serious advocate. And for him to be throwing his weight behind what was already a compelling argument is very significant.
Yeah, and on the other hand, though, we heard, and we know, sorry, that there was a review group set up to look at the whole question of Defence Forces pay. I think it was chaired by a former President of Congress, Peter McClune, and it made recommendations. Now, you were quite dismissive of what he brought forward, but at least the government, it looked to him as somebody who's got wide experience of pay matters to bring forward some suggestions. What more should they be doing?
First of all, a commitment to pay the national minimum wage would certainly be a big help. I was the military commander in Portlaoise prison for quite a while, and your listeners may not be aware, but a large number of the troops who are on duty right now in Portlaoise prison are not even receiving the national minimum wage. I mean, this is a very dangerous precedent for wider society, because other employers will be looking at this, saying, OK, the states aren't paying the national minimum wage, and therefore it's open season.
You better explain that a bit more, because I think what you're referring to there is the overtime rates as opposed to the basic salary. Is that right?
No, not at all. Again, I was the commander down there, so I know these figures by heart. So the troops that are down there, they're doing in excess of 100 hours a week over a number of months. And if you include their basic salary plus their overtime rates, it still does not even come up to the national minimum wage.
And what are the overtime rates? Remind us.
Well, I'm not sure if I'd even call them overtime rates. It's between 2 and 3.50 an hour, depending on your rank and your technical status. It's not a wage; it's an outrage.
But if they weren't doing any overtime, they would be being paid the minimum wage at least, surely.
Well, a private soldier would be on €28,000 per year, and for a 40-hour week, that would not be unreasonable. But the vast majority of Defence Forces personnel are doing well in excess. 65 hours a week would be the norm.
That would perhaps explain, Eoghan O'Malley, why the President, I suppose, voiced his frustration that it shouldn't be too much to expect that members are paid an income that's sufficient to provide for themselves and their families.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody agrees with the rates of pay that members of the Defence Forces have to live on. That is an issue, but it's also the case that the President can meet with the Taoiseach on a regular basis, who's also the Minister for Defence, and can privately express these opinions. Article 13.9 of the Constitution also says that the President cannot act except on the advice of the government, and it's clear that he's kind of pushing the boundaries. I mean, that article could be interpreted, and was interpreted by De Valera, that that presidents shouldn't give media interviews. Obviously, those days are long past. But he possibly could be a little bit more careful in what fields he puts his foot into.
Yeah, but given, and we heard Cathal Berry read out that text in the Constitution where it vests the supreme authority. He's the supreme commander of the Defence Forces. And I suppose on those grounds alone, there should be perhaps some scope for him to talk about pay and conditions in the army, as opposed to, say, for nurses or teachers.
He's also been willing to go into those issues such as nurses and teachers' pay and kind of into issues such as public sector pay and tax cuts more generally. So I'm not sure that it's just because he's the supreme commander of the Defence Forces that he is uniquely allowed to do it here. He goes into it in lots of areas and he probably shouldn't, but there's not enough. He's very popular, so government can't really do anything about it.
Okay, just some texts and other reaction. Tweet from Shane Mullally. It's high time the Defence Forces were properly paid and looked after. Soldiers are leaving in droves. Another one, why shouldn't Michael D speak on basic conditions for our Defence Forces? He is the elected voice of the people and the most popular senior figure in the country. It's a matter of justice, says Tom. Another one, Niall and Ennis. It's totally wrong for President Higgins to interfere in political and budgetary matters. Let him stick to the constitutional boundaries of his office. And another one, hear, hear to the President. As a wife of a serving Defence Force member of 33 years with a family of seven, we have struggled all our lives to provide for our family. My husband has given so much to this country. We welcome what the President said yesterday and hope things will change for all the Defence Forces. That from a frustrated wife. My thanks to you both, Owen O'Malley, Associate Professor of Politics at DCU, and also to you, Dr. Cathal Berry, retired from the Defence Forces and also former head of the Army Ranger Wing and the Military Medical School. We'll take a break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.